Historical Haunt. Are There Spooks at the Athens Jail? Written October 31st, 2014 by a good friend of ours, Ms. Sheena Barnett. Athens, set back in rural Monroe County, not far from Aberdeen, sits the Athens Jail, the oldest government building in North Mississippi. It was once part of a bustling, growing city, but now the building stands alone. Many Monroe County residents say the old building is haunted, and maybe so, but mostly it's a building with a lot of stories and, yes, maybe a spook or two. The county seat of Monroe County moved several times before Aberdeen was finally settled on in 1849. Before that, it was at times Athens, and the Athens Jail stood in the middle of what was a town. It was truly the center of the county. Across the way was the courthouse and the community well, said Savannah Pratt, a member of the Monroe County Historical Society. The first jail in Athens was built in 1830, but it burned, and the current structure was completed in 1845 by Joshua Toomer, said Emory A. Morgan, a Monroe County Historical Society member. Toomer and his friends went to a nearby tavern to celebrate the building's construction one night, and in the darkness, Toomer jumped on the wrong horse. When his tipsy friends discovered his mistake, they claimed he was a horse thief and made a citizen's arrest, making Toomer the first to spend the night in his own jail, Morgan said. It was used as a jail until 1872 and was then a home for many families. Time passed, the railroad came through, the county seat moved. Eventually, every other building around the Athens Jail was torn down. Even the hanging tree, which was across the road from the jail, was cut down. The jail has been empty for at least 30 years, Morgan said. Vandals damaged the building, so now the windows are boarded up and it's locked. Campers like Pratt take care of the building and will allow visitors to tour the building. They ask for donations because the building needs lots of renovations and repairs. The downstairs rooms are simple, with brick walls and fireplaces. Up a narrow flight of wooden stairs are the two rooms that served as jail cells. They would have had no heat except for what heat came up from downstairs, Morgan said. In one room, above the door frame, an Alabama fan has written Roll Tide. In the other room, rain has leaked in from the roof, causing some damage. Is it haunted? Members of the Historical Society have all heard tall tales. I've heard that a prisoner hung himself in the north room, Pratt said. I've been told there was blood in the north room, but I haven't seen it. Historical Society President Don McCain said he heard a woman was hanged once at the jail and had a concealed pistol that fell out of her dress. There's no record of how many prisoners were hanged or otherwise died at the jail, and there are no records of where these prisoners are buried. Morgan is a dowser, meaning he uses two metal rods to find graves, old building sites, water, and other things underground. Because of his talents as a dowser, he's worked with many psychics. Spirits often come and go, he said. There are no spirits there, he said of the jail, and pointed across the road, but right over there is a slave cemetery and it's full of spirits. Written by Sheena Barnett, October 31st, 2014. I gotta admit, I'm a little sad. This is our last show of the Halloween season of 2016.
Yeah, it is. But it was a good one, though.
Oh, it was a great one. It was action-packed, and we've been busy as all get out. So there's that sense of relief of the fact that we're not going to be busy every weekend and some nights during the week doing that. And we can now move on to working on the Killjoy album, Full Force.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that, too. That's going to be really cool. Well, we've already started on it, but now we can focus more attention on that.
Right.
We're going to take a little break after this episode, but fret not. I think you can go back and look at the podcast and the dates it was posted and see that when we say we're going to take a short break, that we always come back shortly. Some people say we're going to take a little break, and then you don't hear them for like 6 months. We don't do that. Historically, we don't. Anyway,
we'll be back.
This is going to be a great show, though. This is going to be a good finale of the Halloween season. The Halloween season's not long enough. I mean, I think Halloween deserves as much time as every other holidays get. You know what I mean?
I definitely think it deserves more time than Christmas.
Well, not necessarily like the holiday itself, but like
the
anticipation of it. Like they put up Christmas decorations this year before they did Halloween.
Yeah,
the stores and stuff.
Right. I mean, and it gets worse every year. I mean, don't forget about Halloween. Halloween is one of the best seasons of all.
Normally, I would say it's the best weather of the year, but
this year sucked.
This year it was hot. It did suck.
We had a record-breaking Halloween for the temperatures. It was horrible.
And I want to apologize to everybody about episode 57. From what I'm getting from the Podomatic engineers, the servers went down due to a power outage about the exact same time I was up trying to upload that episode. And it's out there, and it's working, but it's not being properly distributed to anything outside Podomatic, such as iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and all the other places that a lot of our listeners listen to listening to the podcast through. They're still working on that. I've been, you know, pretty stern with them that this is kind of a time-sensitive show. I mean, I released it late Thursday night before that So Sick Fest.
It was late.
And it was out, again, like a few people listened to it. The ones that have the Podomatic app and listen to it through the Podomatic links and stuff that we put on Facebook, they all heard it. But like I said, we have a lot of listeners that listen to it through iTunes, and I have to apologize to them. It's out of my hands. Hopefully this episode will not have that same kind of thing happen. And it really sucks because episode 57 was awesome.
It was a fun episode.
It was awesome. Like, we got the seven people that actually got it.
Right.
Were, like, really happy about it. Like, they were like, that was a great episode. So, anyway, we've extended the book contest till this weekend. We're going to do the drawing on Facebook Live this weekend. I don't know what day of the weekend, but
Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, so if you want to get a signed copy of Dr. Allen's newest book, Ghosts of the Mississippi's Golden Triangle is the title. Again, it's a signed copy. Email us, killpopculture69@gmail.com. In the subject, put book. In the body, put anything you want. And we're going to print out all the emails that we get. We're going to fold them up, put them in a bucket, shake them up, and draw one out. And you're going to watch us do it, so you know we're not cheating. We had an awesome interview with Miss Harlow that we're about to play for you. We went to her house in Aberdeen, and she lives in like the really like the antebellum home district, I would call it.
Yeah, definitely.
Of Aberdeen. She lives right next door to what they call the castle. And I think, didn't she say her and her husband actually own the castle?
Yeah, they own it.
And they rent it
too.
Out? Yeah. And I was wondering why they call it the castle, but it's actually got those castle things.
Yeah, castle type tiers and stuff.
Yeah, it is a castle. But I would love to go on like a antebellum home tour of Aberdeen sometime.
We might have to do that because they do that every year during the Railroad Festival, but we're always busy.
A little busy. I'm glad you brought that up because the weekend before the Railroad Festival is the second Tupelo Comic Con, which we're going to be at.
Yes.
It's going to be at the Furniture Market this year, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. We'll look at that and get back with you.
Yeah, we'll look at that and get back with you. Anyway, we had a great interview with Miss Harlow, and we went over there, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Had a great talk with her. We wanted to get sort of like we did with Mr. Brent Coleman before we did we were actually at the munitions plant when we talked to Mr. Coleman, but we wanted to get the history first. So you're going to hear the interview with us talking to her about the history of the Athens Jail. Then you're going to hear us at the Athens Jail, which we just went a couple of days ago. Had a real interesting adventure. Before we went to the Athens Jail, we actually searched for the cemetery that you're going to hear us talk about in this interview. And I'll tell you more about that after the interview. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So we'll have like a mid-show intro.
Mid-show intro.
This show's probably going to go over a little bit, but I don't care. This is the last one for a little while. It's the big finale of the Halloween season. We're sad that it's over, so we don't mind, you know, extending things a little bit.
You guys have been really, really great this year. Lots of feedback. Lots of cool interviews. If you haven't checked out all the interviews that we've done for this month, you can go back on the Podomatic, check it out. Big thanks to everybody that was a part of it, for sure.
Yeah, up until our little fiasco with episode 57, and I think I said this on episode 57, the three episodes prior to that were the highest rated episodes of Kill Pop Culture on iTunes.
Yeah.
So I was pretty happy about that.
So hats off to you guys. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. And also hats off from our sponsors, which you're going to hear from one of them right now. Say it.
It.
Say the other it.
What am I saying?
Bean footage.
Oh, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Say it like you mean it.
Oh. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Was that so hard?
Yeah, a little bit. Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
I'll just go ahead and start recording, and we'll just come in with...
Okay, that's a stack of pictures of it in previous...
Oh, okay.
And I can probably make you copies of any of those pictures on my copy machine.
I could probably just take a picture with my phone.
Okay.
Also, but oh wow, I wonder what year that was.
I don't know. Let's see what.
Because it's got the balcony and everything.
It doesn't say, but that was in the newspaper at one time. It did at one time look like that too. After they no longer used it as a jail, people lived there. Different families lived there, and
right.
That's one family's home, and this is. They all kind of rearranged it a little bit. One of the ladies that lived there was so fearful of storms that she had all the brick taken off of this part, and then they had to rebuild it of timbers.
Hmm.
Because she was so fearful that the heavy brick was going to fall in on her. There would be a...
It looks so different from that picture to that picture.
Yes, yes.
Look at the difference from when they had it as a home.
Oh, wow.
I wonder what year that was. This is 1905 there.
Okay. She put on there. She was a great historian, so she really documented her stuff.
Wow.
And I'm fortunate to have some of her information.
You can look at the... pictures like this in here and tell where the little porch awning was on it. That's what that line is from. It's where that used to be.
It's funny because between each picture it looks so different.
Mm-hmm. That's not the first jail. The first jail was built in 1830.
Let me write that down.
Okay. That's when Athens became the county seat of Monroe County in 1830.
Okay.
Because it was considered in the middle of the then county. Our first county seat was at Hamilton, Mississippi. That was the center of the county. At that time, Monroe County looked like everything east of the Tombigbee River and south of Gaines Trace to the Alabama line. was Monroe County, and Hamilton was about in the middle of that. And then in 1830, the Mississippi legislature divided the county into two parts. The south part became Lowndes County,
right,
and the north part Monroe County. And so then Athens was considered the center of the county, which
it
was. Oh, okay.
And so here's the river here?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is the Gaines Trace. That was the treaty, the Indian treaty. That what was the treaty line, brother?
So Monroe County used to be a lot bigger then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you said that wasn't the first jail. Did something happen to the first one, or they just tore it down because
I think it burned. I know that the first courthouse burned, and they rebuilt it. And it seems like they rebuilt both the courthouse and the jail at the same time. So I don't know if it burned or just wasn't well built and just kind of crumbled. But in 1845 is when they built this one.
The one we see now is 1845.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Was it in the same spot?
Yeah. And it was the one we see now was built by Joshua Toomer, T-O-O-M-E-R. He was not only a building contractor, but with his brother, who was a more famous steamboat captain.
So it was still the center of the town when it was Athens in its full form. The courthouse, as it sits now, would still be the center?
No, not bad off. See, when we added the west side of the river in about 1834-35, the treaty was 1832, but the Indians didn't leave right then when we added where we are today. And
what tribe of Native Americans would...
Chickasaw.
The Chickasaw Indians? Okay.
Yeah. Chickasaw. We had Chief Levi Colbert, who lived, at Wren, they call Cotton Gin Hill.
Oh, yeah.
He lived up on that ridge, right straight across from where Cotton Gin Port was. That's where Levi Colbert, one of his homes, was. He had houses everywhere, but that was one of his main homes. He lived there.
Okay. So in the jailhouse, when you go in there now, the rooms are real open, because it's been restored and everything. But
yeah,
what would the inside of the jailhouse look like back in, I guess, the 1840s, when it was still thriving as a jail?
Okay. The cells were upstairs on the other upper floor, and they had places in the floor where they had chains run out. And
like shackles?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so that was downstairs. The jailer and his family lived downstairs.
Okay.
And there were some original doors were metal. Well, it was big, thick slabs of wood clad in metal, and those were the original doors. Of course, they were taken off when people lived there and everything.
So the whole upstairs were cells? Or
uh-huh.
Okay, so I wonder how many there were.
Just as many as they needed, I guess. They had the shackles, and they didn't have to have separate rooms. For
right.
I think one side was for female, if they had any female prisoners, and one side was for male.
Gotcha. What kind of criminals do they usually harbor? I know that the judicial system was different back then than it is, and due process is a lot different.
Yeah.
But just a little bit of anything?
Yeah.
Horse robbers?
Yeah. Oh, well, Joshua Toomer, the man who built it, spent the first night after the celebration of the building of the in the jail for horse thievery.
Really?
They celebrated completion of the jail in this 1845.
Right.
And they celebrated real well. And he was going to go home or wherever he was staying, so he went out and got on his horse, he thought, and rode off. But it was somebody else's horse. So they chased after him and got him for horse thievery. But when everybody sobered up the next morning, he was...
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably was a little tipsy when he got on the wrong horse,
yeah,
I guess.
And by the way, the jail was used after the county seat came to to Aberdeen, because Aberdeen built a courthouse, but they didn't build a jail right away. So as late as 1873, I think, the county of Monroe still housed prisoners in the Athens jail, even though they would be tried
at the courthouse.
Yeah, at the courthouse.
Was it true they had a quote-unquote hanging tree right across the road from the jail?
I have always heard that. I don't know it. I've never seen it myself, but I've always read that and heard that it was. And just to the south of the jail, probably across, that's Beeks Road there,
mm-hmm.
across Beeks Road to the south, was supposedly the place of the hanging tree. But now, historically, I cannot swear that. I never have seen it.
Right, right. So I guess what they would do is if you were, you know, you got arrested, put in the jail, you'd go to the courthouse for your trial. Mm-hmm. And if you were convicted and the punishment was execution, they just took you right out there and, yep, and hung you on mm-hmm. the tree. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the judicial system has changed.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I've got a, like I said, our major historian in modern times was Helen Crawford. And in an article she wrote in 1978, she lists some people who were in jail there.
I'd also heard that there's an old cemetery close to the jail. Is that correct?
There's an old cemetery north of the jail on the other side of the Athens Quincy Road going toward Cat Tadpole Creek. There is a house kind of northwest of the jail today.
Okay.
And you go out to the north beside that house up into several rows of trees back in there. I have been there once. I could not find it again. But it was the land cemetery. The people who owned it was a land. No, wait a minute. I've got that backwards. It was the Morgan Cemetery.
Morgan, okay.
Judge N.L. Morgan. His daughters married. He had two daughters to marry into the land families. But the lands that are buried at that cemetery, but I think it's called the Morgan Cemetery. But that was the cemetery at Athens.
So if you step out the door of the jailhouse, you're looking straight across the street. It would be northwest of there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who owns that property out there? Do you know? I'm sure it's
the
privately
owned. The Wrights did own where the cemetery is. I think the Wrights did own it.
The Wrights.
Yeah. And I think that lady died not too long ago that owned that house. Now the Tubbs owned the land where the jail stands, mm-hmm. and the Historical Society, Monroe County Historical Society, under the leadership of Ms. Charles Granville Hamilton, obtained possession of the jail. The Monroe County Historical Society owns the jail and a little small piece of property that it sits on.
Okay, so it's sort of like an easement for the yeah. Historical Society to mm-hmm. keep the jail up and everything.
Yeah, which is very hard. And in fact, we are doing a fundraiser now because we need a new roof on the jail before bad weather gets here. And what we're doing is this book that was printed in the came out in 1988 and it's been out of print for ever since. The Monroe County Historical Society is reprinting this book to raise funds to do roof for the Athens jail.
Okay, is it going to be like a paperback version or is it going to be like that big?
That's
a big book.
Yeah. We're going to divide it into two sections, in okay. Section A and Section B, but it'll be
a hardback like that?
Yeah. Well, more like this hardback type of thing, but a little bit.
Oh, I got thicker. You. Yeah. And where will they be able to pick those up if they want to get a copy?
Well, first, we're pre-selling them. They'll have to reserve a copy.
Right.
In fact, take this, and you may have some friends who might be interested. Y'all can
take it. Oh, yeah, definitely. Y'all I'll probably pick up a that. Copy myself.
No, it's expensive.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Because it's going to cost a bunch to print it.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Yeah.
Do you know exactly how much they're going to be?
Yeah, $200, and we reserve them $100 down and $100 when we deliver the books.
And that's both copies?
Sections.
Both sections. Okay, so
just whatever's in this. And see, we have church histories in here, business histories. We have a lot of cemeteries in here. We have history of every town in Monroe County.
Sure, a lot of work went into that. How long did it take to put all that together?
It took me 5 years.
Wow.
And I said I'd never do anything like that again, but I did give permission for the Historical Society to reprint it. But it has different family histories, and that's one of the nicest things, because different families could send in their family.
Uh-huh.
And I think we've got over 1,000 families anyway. And we tried to get as many of the pioneer Monroe County families as possible.
Right.
And we consider pioneer families anybody who was counted in the 1820 census.
I'm sure you had to get like a lot of the people's descendants
yeah.
to tell
mm-hmm.
their account.
Yeah.
Like probably great great grandkids of
of the original. Yeah, a lot of people are interested in the family history, and so they did contribute. But we were fortunate to get as much information as possible.
That book right there, that's like the entire archive of Ancestry.com of Monroe County right there.
Yeah.
That looks like that has it all.
And we did that before we had Ancestry. I didn't have a computer.
Right. You said that came out in
88.
Yeah. What I was telling you about the podcast is before is during the month of October, the whole month, all our shows are kind of Halloween related.
Yeah.
My part of the Halloween stuff that we do, I think, is this, like the history that I think is just really cool and fascinating to find out where stuff came from. But, of course, you know, it being Halloween, we've heard stuff about the paranormal as it relates to the Athens Jailhouse. Everybody's heard stories, and who knows if some of them are true or not, but... I guess I wanted to kind of play fact or fiction with you on some of the stuff that we've heard. Like, I heard there was a lady committed suicide in the jail. Is that factual that you know of?
I don't know. It could have happened, but I don't know anything about it. That's a story I don't know.
What are some of the paranormal-related things you've heard over the years, the accounts that people have heard things or saw things there?
One of the families who lived there one time, they heard things, but... I think you hear things in any old house.
Yeah. We were talking about that again when we did the lyric. You know, it was built in 18. What year was that?
Or 1912.
1912. The same year the Titanic sunk is when they built the lyric, and it's a 60-something thousand square foot facility. And he's like, "Of course, you're going to hear pops, and creaks, and settling."
We even hear that in this house.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of and I grew up. I live in. Kind of the corner of Amory, Smithville, and Hatley, kind of the little, I call it the Copper Triangle.
Yeah.
I've heard stories my whole life that the Athens Jailhouse was haunted, and again, you never know what stuff people are making up to scare people and anything like that. But have you kind of heard the same thing?
Well, it's an old place, and it's been through a lot, and people have lived there and died there. And our most famous prisoner was. The Indian chief, before the Chickasaw Indians left, the United States government they wanted their land, and so we encroached upon them, and they were supposed to be a separate nation unto themselves, and they had their own laws.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did not obey their laws, but we went into their land. The chief, I think it was Chief Tishomingo, I'll have to look that up, but I'm pretty sure Chief. So he tried the people who broke laws when they came on Indian property.
Mm-hmm.
And if they broke the laws, like they would sell contraband to his people, which was illegal in both American and Indian laws.
Right.
So he would try them. Well, we decided that, or Americans decided that wasn't right. So we arrested him and put him in jail there, at the Athens jail, and tried him. And I think he was found guilty, but he was a venerable old man, and they let him out.
Even though he was found guilty, we're not going to execute an old man.
Yeah,
And you think that was Chief Tishomingo?
I think
so. Like Tishomingo County?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were there any other kind of high-profile prisoners? How well did they keep records back then? Is there records of all the prisoners that they had there?
Chantry Court House here in Aberdeen, there would be some records. A famous case heard at Athens, this is while it was still a county seat, and it was historic for the United States and for the state of Mississippi, because our legislature okayed that law. It was women's property law, that women could own property themselves, because everywhere else, now, if you own property, even if you brought it with you when you married, it then belonged to your husband. And this was a case about a Chickasaw lady. She was a Colbert descendant, I think, maybe Betsy Love Allen may be her name. And she had inherited some property from her Colbert ancestor. And then she married a man who got into financial difficulties. And his the people he owed money to tried to take her personal property to pay off his debt.
Okay.
And so they tried a case right there at Athens, and it said that women had the right to own property separately from their husband if they brought it into the marriage.
Oh, okay. So that was kind of a big
yeah,
step.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And it was upheld by the Mississippi legislature. And, of course, it was about one of the first nationwide that...
So once that law was put in place right there,
yes.
it was applicable to the entire state or the entire nation?
Well, it was to the entire state, but later the nation adopted
that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow, that is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd always heard growing up is, of course, as we mentioned earlier, the hanging tree.
Yeah.
And I'd heard that it was kind of somewhere right across the road. But there was also supposedly, and we did mention the cemetery, but where they would bury the people that they hanged.
A potter's field, probably something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it stands to reason. I mean, that would be reasonable because they would have to bury them somewhere.
Yeah. But the cemetery you were talking about earlier, that was the main town cemetery at the time?
Yes, it started out as a family cemetery, but it was the closest there.
It became the Athens
cemetery. And a lot of people that lived at Athens buried at Beek's Cemetery. You know where that is?
Yeah, it's the big, the one that
rode past it.
Right, yeah.
So a lot of Athens people buried at Beek's. And then there are other cemeteries close by that they buried at.
The one on the Wrights' property that you said you found that time, is there still headstones there and everything?
There were.
Kind of in ruins, maybe?
You just can't hardly, it's grown up, you can't hardly get there. Let me see where the cemetery book is, and I can...
If we wanted to try to go out there and check it out,
over here, this is going to open for you.
Okay, that's Mother Monroe.
If we wanted to try to get permission to go out there, who would we need to talk to about that? The Wright family? Or?
Yeah. And do you know Mr. Tubb, who lives right close to the jail?
Yeah, you told me about him. Yeah, I think I wrote that down at my house, but I need to write that down again because I was going to let him know when we go out there. And
he might know who Ms. Wright's. Who's in charge of Ms. Wright's stuff to go on that land.
Okay.
But I had a guide, Felix Land. He's dead now. Because, see, some of his ancestors were buried there. And he took me out there one time. And I would never have been able to find it on my own. Because you're looking up there in the woods and like bays. In the bay, you know, the woods are coming out here and come around and come out here. And it's in one of the bays.
Oh, okay.
And you have to go through the...
It's real thick and grown up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm.
Now, the man you just mentioned, I'm trying to remember. I read a really good article that a friend of mine actually wrote, Miss Sheena Barnett. She did a write-up for the Daily Journal about the Athens jail. And there was a man that she talked to there, and I think he's since passed away. But he was a pretty good expert on authority on... Do you know who I'm talking about?
Would that be Napoleon Tubb? He's been dead several years.
Maybe. I can't remember his name, but he was the one that said that, I think he was quoted to say that he doesn't think the Athens jailhouse itself is necessarily haunted, but, and he kind of pointed and he said, now that cemetery down there, that's where all the spooks are. And I'm assuming that he's referring to that cemetery that's hidden in the woods.
Maybe.
So I don't know if that would have been the same guy or not. I'll have to look that name up. It was a really good article she wrote about the jailhouse.
Yeah.
We went and did something similar to this at the Gulf Ordnance Munitions
yeah.
Plant. And that was a really intriguing place, too, over
there.
Oh,
yeah, that's...
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Because all I knew about it was that one building that you see.
Yeah.
And then come to find out there's another one. But when I started digging in the history of it, I mean, this place was like a city. It was huge.
Oh, yeah, they had dormitories and cafeteria.
Right.
And they had... Round the clock shifts because that was for the war effort. They were building bombs and ammunition for World War II.
Yeah.
So it was.
Yeah, we pretty much spent the night out there, and we interviewed Mr. Brent Coleman.
Oh, he knows a lot about
it. Oh,
yes,
yeah. He knew a whole lot. He was a big help. And when I started talking to him, that's when I was just like, wow, this place. I never knew it was like a hidden city that existed here, and then just. Poof, vanished.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of like Athens. I mean, how big was Athens? Does anybody know the population? Because it seems like it just kind of dissolved, and that's the only building that's left.
I think it was around 200 in. I think that book right there tells something about one election was 200. They had 200 in the town of Athens. Of course, that's in the town itself. That's not the county.
The
area of the community.
Of course, the nation as a whole wasn't as densely populated as it is nowadays. Would a population of 200 be considered a big town?
That would be a nice sized country town. The Cotton Gin Port did not have that many people.
That's another fascinating place that I've been hearing a lot about. How it, again, it just kind of disappeared.
It picked up itself and put its building, or some of its building, on rollers, mm-hmm. and they rolled into Amory because that was the railroad bypassed Cotton Gin Port.
Yeah, someone was telling me one of the big churches. Is it the First Baptist Church?
No, it was First Christian Church.
First Christian Church. Yeah. They rolled it down the hill on logs and
mm-hmm.
with horses. That's a steep hill to be rolling.
Yeah.
It'd take a lot of horses to hold it back because you wouldn't want a runaway church coming down Cotton Gin Hill. I don't suppose.
Well, of course, Cotton Gin Port was on the east side of the river.
Right.
Because it was the first town. In fact, our first settlers in 1816... That's when the treaty was signed, giving the land east of the Tombigbee River, like that map. I think I gave you a copy. See, this land became available to settlers in 1816, and this is the 200th year anniversary of the first settlers coming into Monroe County.
Okay.
And the first wagon train came down this Gaines Trace. That was the treaty line. And they spent the Christmas of 1816, 200 years ago this year, at Cotton Gin Port. But Cotton Gin Port was not a town at that time. The only thing there was the ferryman and his family. But they had no...
Right.
All they had was the wagons they came in on. So Christmas of 1816, they spent in their wagons huddled there at the ferry.
Okay.
And then as soon as the weather broke a little bit, they went out into the county and decided, marked their spot that they wanted to settle and cleared it, built a structure of some kind, very rude to begin with, and lived there until they could get a crop in that first year. And once they got the crop in, then they built a more permanent structure to live. But it was very, very raw country.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any, so long ago, I don't know if they had functioning cameras, but is there any pictures of Cotton Gin Port or drawings?
There's some drawings.
Some drawings of it?
I don't know if I can find Cotton Gin Port.
Because when a town just completely disappears, you know, you can't help but, like, really wonder what did it look like, you know?
Well, this is supposed to be a picture of Cotton Gin Port.
Okay.
Taken in later years, though, when it was in decline.
Because that part of the river, that's basically where all they shipped in all the goods.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they didn't have 18-wheelers, trains to deliver. So anything that they needed brought to them would come down. I imagine that port was a place of high industry back then.
Oh, yeah, it was. That's where everything came. And people traveled on those steamboats up and down.
Is that the way it all came, was through steamboats?
Yeah. We did have a stagecoach road. Where the Athens Quincy Road is today,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was part of the original stagecoach.
Hmm. Isn't there a Gaines Trace sign in Smithville?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Gaines Trace comes right down, what, 25?
Well, part of it does. At Joe 25, is it nears
the waterway?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can look on a modern-day map and tell because the sections, township sections and ranges, are just kind of cut in two on the eastern part of the county, the northeast part of the county.
Well, I could imagine that the Smithville side of the waterway, where it is now, back then they could have walked across it because they put that part of the river in later, didn't they? When they put in the channel for...
Well, the Tombigbee River, the east part, did go... right there, and Bull Mountain Creek ran into it just above Smithville.
Okay.
And so it was a low water. I don't know if you're probably not old enough to remember. It used a long time ago going to Fulton, you had to cross a long, narrow, and there was kind of swamp on each side. And it was always kind of scary looking out across
in Bull Mountain.
Yeah.
It's still kind of that way. It's still kind of swampy area. Maybe not as much as it is back then, but yeah, the Bull Mountain Creek was there, but the channel that they cut in for the barges, I know back behind where my parents used to live, they used to live on 25 before the tornado came through, and I remember as a little kid going out there when they were working on the waterway, and they built the lock and dam. That would be Lock B.
Lock B
in Smithfield. And then they just flooded all that area because it wasn't there before, but I don't know how... I'm not sure the landscape of the waterway prior to that. I can't remember back that far.
Well, I don't know as much what it looks like today because I don't get out much anymore. But the early settlers that came in 1816, one of them, William Wise, went up toward Bull Mountain Creek and was going to build his house. And Levi Colbert came out and says, "You're on the wrong side of the game of the trace." The Indians didn't call it the Gaines Trace, they called it the Indian Treaty Line, because it was.
Right.
And he says, you go back east and a little south, and you can stake out your land there. And so he did, but he was first on Indian territory, and he was asked by Levi Colbert to go back south.
So the Indian territory would have been on the towards the Fulton side of Smithfield, going towards that way?
Well, see, Smithfield was in Indian territory.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it's north of the Gaines Trace.
Would that have been Seminole Indians? Is that what they call them?
Chickasaw.
Yeah.
I wonder why they call it Smithfield Seminoles then. Just that random Native American reference.
Yeah.
They didn't consult the correct historians when they came up with their mascots, I guess. Do you know the name of the family that lived in the jailhouse? Is there any records of that?
Yeah.
Because I think it was just, wasn't it just one family?
No, there were several.
Oh, there were several.
Yeah, let's see.
Does it look on the back? See if there's a name.
It probably is, because that was Helen Crawford's.
Walter Smith.
Yeah, and I think it was the Smiths, Miss Smith, that was afraid of storms and had them take off the upper story.
Was there ever a major tornado or a big storm that hit Athens?
I don't recall.
You don't recall one?
Mm-hmm. Of course, we've had several big ones that came through Amory. Mm-hmm. Aberdeen. The worst one, I guess, was 1820, and it came through what they call Gladneyville, which is right out that way, and it destroyed homes up there, and then it went on in where Tubby Creek is crossed, going up Coontail, that bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a big hog farm there, and it killed the hogs and destroyed the operation. It was a big operation, a commercial operation.
It's completely wiped it out. It must have been like a big tornado. Probably I don't know if they had classifications back then, but
they probably didn't.
Yeah.
But I know my grandparents' home that's up on the hill there, it was just freshly built and not quite finished. And leaves blew in and it had freshly stucco interior walls,
mm-hmm.
and they had to have that redone, and no window in that house ever after was plumb.
The square?
Right. Yeah.
Huh. So it kind of probably shifted it completely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was a close call.
Yeah.
If it did that much damage and they were okay. You know how I can get a hold of Mr. Tubb? I wanted just to look, kind of at least keep him in the loop of what we're doing so he didn't freak out if there's a couple cars out there hanging out.
I don't... People don't have phones anymore, and I don't have a cell phone number for him.
I could write him a letter like I did you. That was the first letter I've written since I was in high school.
Well, it did the trick.
It did. It worked. Here we are.
Yeah.
I suppose I could get his address or something and just mail him a letter the old-fashioned way. What's the hours of operation, so to speak, at the jailhouse? Is there any time that we don't need to be there?
No. It's... We've kind of had to board it up a few years ago because vandals keep breaking in. They've broken those. See, that was antique glass and those windows, you know, that old wavy glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've broken panes out and panes out in the doors. And it hasn't been good.
Yeah, I thought it was open to the public because the door, I mean, you go
there. Yeah, they broke the door.
But then I found out later, you told me it's that way because they broke in.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
People can't leave stuff alone.
Mm-mm. When the first time there were vandals, Mr. Emory Alec Morgan, he's dead now, but he was president of the Historical Society at that time, and he did go out in the community and found the families of those young boys. You know, a 14-year-old boy, mm-hmm. and sometime an 18-year-old, will do anything. If it crosses their mind, they're going to do it because they have no... And anyway, he found the parents, and the parents did help pay for that first vandalism to fix it.
Yeah, I read somewhere, and it may have been in that article that Sheena wrote, but somebody had spray painted Roll Tide inside there, and I'm like, my goodness.
But people think, oh, it's an empty building. It's old. It's interesting. Let's go in and see what we can do.
And they don't realize what kind of rich history they're destroying there. Is there a place where people can make donations if they want to contribute to the help of the restoration of some of these places?
Yes. That address that's on there.
Okay.
Because I'm the treasurer of the Historical Society now. So, okay. So am I.
Right. Well, we'll definitely get that information out there to our listeners that if they want to help preserve places like this, because I'm glad that Monroe County has a society like this that will preserve history, because some towns, they just knock buildings down and build new ones, and they don't even think about what they're doing.
Monroe County has such a rich history.
It does, absolutely. The more and more I do this and hear about stuff, the more fascinated I am by it. It's really interesting.
When you get ready to, I don't know what you could do on your podcast on Kanji and Poet, because you can't hardly get there. There's nothing there now but a marker. But when you get ready to do Kanji and Poet, this steamships that came up the Tombigbee River.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm.
This was another famous Monroe County historian. He's dead, too, John Ed Rodibar.
Yeah. And again, that's one thing that just blows my mind is you have these thriving communities, and then they just vanish.
Yeah.
It's like Athens, it's the jail, and then everything else is like private land now.
Yeah.
And none of the houses, I'm assuming even the ones in the county probably aren't there anymore.
A lot of them are not.
There's a few plantation homes in that area. I've seen one or two like really nice houses. Not as many as there are here in Aberdeen,
this
obviously.
This is a copy you can keep. This kind of shows what was what and where's where.
Oh, good, yeah.
And there's that cemetery that's...
The mystery cemetery? Yeah. The one that's hard to find?
Yeah. And I've never found that one, but it's listed on maps.
That'll be some interesting research we need to try to do. Because I wouldn't mind going and trying to find that.
Now, one of the early families that was there even before Athens became the county seat was that Howell family. They came in 1815, I think. And the man put in a crop and raised him. He built him a lean-to. And it was illegal at that time. The treaty hadn't been signed, but he anticipated the treaty. So he came in very early and built him a lean-to and planted a crop and gathered it, and then went back to Tennessee and got his family, and they came down the next year and settled there.
A crop of?
I don't know whether he planted corn.
Cotton or?
Well, probably not cotton at that time, because cotton was so labor-intensive, one man couldn't do a crop.
Gotcha.
But he probably did the corn and some food crops. But the cemetery is still there, and it's a historic cemetery. There's a marker there at the cemetery. And of course, the old homestead is gone. But there's many descendants, Howell descendants, still living today.
Let's see. Now, there's the jail, okay.
Yeah.
And which building's the courthouse?
It was in the court square.
Just right there in the middle?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a shame that that's not still standing.
I know it. It was standing in a form. I don't know if it's still there now or not, but they sold that building that was the courthouse, and it was moved down. I think it was used as a church up until recent times, or a church outbuilding or a school outbuilding. When I was still able to get out and go, 20 years ago, I guess, it was still there, but I have heard that it may have been taken down because it was in very bad shape. But you could tell it had a lot of windows, and it was connected with either a church or a schoolhouse.
Gotcha. I noticed one thing that surprised me is the Athens jailhouse is really not that big.
No.
It's kind of small. Was that kind of normal for the time, that most of the buildings weren't just extravagantly huge?
Well, in early times, now after in the 1850s, we had these
Antebellum homes and stuff.
Greek Revival mansions and the courthouse that we have now is Greek Revival. That was the architecture of the times. But earlier times, it was more primitive because they didn't have all this.
Yeah, all the resources.
Yeah. Mm.
And I imagine there was just a town sawmill, and they would cut down trees and make lumber and build a building.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. We need to do some CSI work here and trying to use some triangulation satellites to find the cemetery. Try to implement some modern technology.
I know. And I would like to see where that other one is, but they both be up on the ridge overlooking Tadpole Creek.
Okay.
One I've been to and the one I've never been able to find.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we wind up finding it, I'll take some good pictures and send them to you.
Do you want me to make you copies of any of those?
I would, actually. I would appreciate that. Do you have a copy machine
here? Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I wouldn't mind getting a copy of all these if you don't mind. And you said this is mine to keep, or can you make a copy?
Yeah, that's
okay, thank
you.
I never really realized that Monroe County went all the way through to Columbus, Lowndes County and stuff.
It's a big county back in the day.
Yeah, that's huge.
You think we'd be able to find that cemetery?
Maybe tricky, but...
Maybe Mr. Tubb would know.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet she's got her own library.
Yeah.
I want my own library. I just don't like to read. Nowadays, a library is just a room where your computer's at.
You have a library. Well, that's called a study.
I guess I do have a library.
Where you put your comic books, because those are books, those are reading materials.
Yeah, okay, my comic library. I need an audio book library, that's what I need. It'd just be a room with a hard drive sitting on the table.
Right.
Like, some of these books are, like, really, really old looking. Like, look at that one right there on that, this is on its side.
Yeah. Them at the bottom.
We're just admiring some of your old books there.
I've got some.
Some of those look pretty antiquated.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you'll notice on that, I forgot, Helen Crawford discovered that the stairs that are on the south wall now were originally on the north wall. And in fact, if you can look, if you go in there and the stairs are on that side, you can see some little square, looks like holes in the floor. And she said she thought it had been moved, the staircase, from one side of the
That's interesting. There's no telling why they would want to move the stairs over.
No, that may have been the same lady who decided she wanted the top story taken down.
Right, yeah.
And what they put back there was wooden and kind of punched tin that made it look like bricks, and I think that's what's still there. It's kind of a punched tin on that upper story that looks like it might be bricks.
Right. Like I said, when I was a kid and I went by the jailhouse, there was a huge tree growing right up through the middle.
Yeah.
Right there where the awning is, I guess. It was a full grown, just a really big tree growing right there. And I think there was a mobile home. Or an RV or a trailer right next to it. Does somebody used to live right there beside it?
Oh, there have been over the years. In fact, a couple of years ago, Mr. Morgan tried to get somebody to come when the vandalism got so bad to come and park their RV and live there just to dissuade vandals. But and we did have, I think, one person, but that didn't really work out. Another extinct town that's interesting is Camargo. And there's nothing there anymore there. But it was a steamboat landing area on the west fork of the Tombigbee River. We called it Old Town Creek.
Oh, yeah, I've heard Old Town Creek.
Yeah. But it was a shipping port on the west fork. And it died when the railroad came through. Well, it had two. It had the Gulf Mobile in Ohio. Just to the west of it came through Oklahoma. And then the Frisco Railroad, or KMCNB, or whatever it was, came through. And so all the people from Camargo either moved to Oklahoma or moved to Nettleton and Verona and Shallon.
Hmm. And that's how those towns kind of got settled?
Uh-huh. Those are railroad towns.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew Amory was a big railroad town.
Yeah.
And then I started hearing a lot about Cotton Gin Port. And I saw the sign my whole life. And I just recently kind of found out there was a whole thriving community out there.
Yeah.
That's just not there anymore.
No, it's gone.
Just gone.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I guess the area where we live, I guess one day, hundreds and hundreds of years.
You can't.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, see, this whole area was underwater, and we're talking about eons ago when the Paleozoic maybe age. I can't remember.
I had heard that before, that this area was under a humid subtropical ocean.
And we have shark's teeth. We can find shark's teeth.
They found shark's teeth in the Benenot mines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, And these Exogyra ponderosa.
Yeah.
In fact, on my back porch, we go out and you can see, I think I've still got samples of those out there. And then rudisted. And in fact, from Mississippi State University, it's not an archaeologist, but the one who was interested in this stuff, and I can't think of his title right now, has been looking for rudisted in creek bottoms like down at Darrican.
Mm-hmm. That's going way, way back.
Yes. But that's part of our history.
Yeah, it is. Well, we sure appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. Well, I really enjoyed our conversation.
I love history, and I like talking about history.
Yeah, I'm really getting into it, too. Like I said, we started out doing this just from a Halloween-related paramormal aspect.
I couldn't really help you with that.
No, that's fine.
Well, because we want to get the history first. Yeah. You know, that's the most important thing, is being accurate.
This is my Native American history. Most of it Chickasaw, but I've got some Cherokee and some Choctaw. And they were all here. But that shelf is Native American history.
I suspect there's a lot of history in that book there. That looks really old.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And what book was it? That one right there looks really old too.
Yeah.
You can just tell by the bindings on some of these that they're very, very old.
But I had to, when my husband and I moved here, we came here to take care of my father and my stepmother in their elder years. And I had to bring all my books with me, so my husband put up these shelvings too.
Yeah, it's a nice little library you got here. Now, I was telling him earlier, nowadays people's library is just a room where their computer's at.
Well, I have that room, but nobody can go in it. You can't. I got cleared off a little path where I can walk.
Got your little walkway.
Right. Yeah, stuff is stacked around. And he says, I'm junking up this room just like it.
Well, you can tell you're working. You know, if people working, they're gonna have.
Well, I've had people come in here to do research. Read, I've got all this stuff out. It's normally in there in bookshelves, but people came to do research.
All right, well, I guess we're going to mosey on back to the Amer side. We're going to watch the... Hopefully, watch the Cowboys beat Green Bay today.
Dak. Watch Dak.
That's right.
I'm so proud of him. He's a nice young man, and I hope he can hold it.
We were talking about last night. We hope that whenever Romo gets to where he can come back, that they don't let him come back, because Dak's doing a fine job.
He's so good.
Right. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Leave him in there.
Right.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much again for
your
time.
Thank y'all. I always enjoy talking about history, and I hope you got enough to do something.
Oh, absolutely, and I wouldn't mind coming back sometime and talking to you about cotton gin port.
Okay, I've got a lot of information on that too.
Good deal.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Punk
Culture. Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
I can't tell you how much fun I had talking to Miss Harlow. She's such a sweetheart, and she's so hospitable. We had such a good time hanging out with her in her library, her like cool little setup there that she's got going on. Kind of jealous. I wish I had a library with like really cool old books laying around.
Yeah, she had a lot of old books.
Yeah, really old books. If you want to support the Historical Society, you can do that in one of three ways. No, two ways.
Not three ways.
You can join,
make donations.
You can join the Historical Society. It's only $30 for a whole year. And plus you get like a book, not the big book, but the pamphlet book, that has the latest
rundown.
Yeah, the rundown of stuff going on that year, I guess. You can make donations, but if you're going to make a donation, in my opinion, you might as well become a member, which right. I'm in the process of doing myself.
Yeah, you and me both.
And you can also buy that big, awesome book that's about to come out, that's being reprinted right now. And I would say if you want to start a Wicked Awesome Library, that'd be a good book to start with.
You're right. There's a lot of information in that book. That book is like thicker than the family Bible.
Yeah, you know the old saying, throw the book at you?
Yeah, I don't want that one thrown.
I would hate to know that book was about to get thrown at me, because that would hurt real bad.
It would probably give you a concussion. Real bad.
A couple things we mentioned in that chat that I wanted to cover real quick before we go into this next part is she recommended we talk to... well, first of all, let me back up. I instantly became obsessed with trying to find the cemetery that we talk about in that interview.
You did.
I was like, it bugs me to know that that's out there. And it's just, I don't know. I just want to find it.
Not just one, but two.
I feel like, yeah. Well, I've been thinking about that. That other one. I'll tell you about that later. I really want to find that cemetery, and we went and looked for it. We did talk to Mr. Tubb, like she recommended. He pointed us in the right direction. The hand-drawn map that we had helped a lot, and we even consulted Google Maps with the satellite view, and that helped a lot because we knew where to start. We did not succeed in finding the cemetery. However, I don't feel really discouraged, because we got a lot of ground covered in a short amount of time, and we got a huge section marked off the list so that when we go back, we can almost, not guarantee, but have a better understanding of where it probably is.
Right. We can cover more ground that way.
So we knocked a huge chunk out of the area we decided to search.
Yeah. And some of the area out there was pretty thick.
It was rough terrain.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I was not prepared.
The slough areas were pretty rough.
Yeah, I was wearing running shoes and just regular jeans.
Kelly got malaria because his shoe came off.
Yeah, they were. Somebody said something about like their shoes are wet. I was like, dude, I have a bass in my shoe. And it's fine.
I was the only one that did not come out with like halfway up my calf. Deep.
But you don't weigh enough to sink in the mud.
Well, no, it wasn't that. I was just like a little ninja kitty cat or something. I was like jumping from tree to tree.
Saying fibbity jibbity.
Yeah, drinking I did say fibbity jibbity. I did. But I had like a knife in my hand, a backpack on, plus a meter. And I would reach around and grab these little small trees and swing around them. I looked like little Tarzan or something running through there.
Well, we did record us traipsing through the woods and gallivanting around, sinking in the mud, and saying a lot of cuss words when limbs hit us in the face.
Briars were the bad thing.
Briars were really bad. But I'm not going to air any of that footage just because there's nothing relevant there. I mean, it would be boring to listen to us crunch leaves and cuss for, like, what, through 3 hours?
Yeah, I mean, we were trying to go through areas where we thought there might be an old unmarked cemetery and stuff, and all you could hear was just... So it's just kind of pointless.
We did find Bigfoot's house out there.
Twice.
Looking for a cemetery, I think we might have found some Sasquatchy, some good old cryptids. But, yeah, it was fun doing that, even though we came back empty-handed. I still had a good time. It was still memorable. I still think that I have a better understanding of where the cemetery probably is just because of... Sometimes you just got to find out where something's not so you can later find out where it is.
Exactly.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Alfred said, why do we fall, sir? So anyway, going back to what I was saying, we did go to Mr. Tubbs' house, as Ms. Harlow recommended. We had a great conversation with him. I really hate we didn't record that, because he told us a lot of cool stories, and he was really helpful. For example, he told us that the bricks at the Athens jail, he said, if you look at them closely, they're not all the same size because they're all handmade. And he said there was a little like makeshift brickyard, and he pointed like over here where this is, and they just had like a tiny little brick making area, and they handmade bricks, and they carted them over there with a horse and buggy, and they stacked them on there. Another thing he shed light to was the whole Batcave effect that we mentioned in a previous episode.
Right.
How many feet thick did he say the walls were?
2 feet thick.
2 feet thick. I'm going there when the tornado comes.
No doubt. You can see it downstairs.
No wonder that place is still there.
Right. The cutout areas for where the windows are downstairs, you can literally curl up in a little ball and lay in this area because the wall is so thick through there.
Yeah, and like I said, not only did they make their own bricks, but that's back when when you would build a house, you would go find some trees and cut them down, take them over to the sawmill, run them through the mill, make boards, and your house would be built out of trees that were alive and well, you know, 3 days prior to that.
Exactly.
And the bricks, same thing, you know, they'd stir up some mud or whatever you make bricks out of.
I would like to find the whiskey still, you know, that he was talking about.
We did
there.
Find signs of a whiskey still, remember?
Well, we did find signs of one. We're not supposed to talk about one. That. We found signs of something, but that's still debatable, too.
I want to give a big shout-out to our sponsors, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, not only for sponsoring our show, which is important because it costs a lot of money, but they lent us the ghost hunting equipment that we used for when we went to the jail. All the ghost hunting equipment we had, I forget what they're all called.
The EMF meters, the K2 meters, EVP recorders, all that stuff.
The proton packs, all that stuff. Ghost traps, the marshmallow men. So big shout out to them. Big thank you to them. One other thing I wanted to kind of just go over before we start this next segment is that I kind of had an epiphany about ghost hunting equipment during this process. And you got to remember, I'm kind of an infant when it comes to ghost hunting. Like I didn't start tagging along on stuff like this until last year. So I really don't even know the names and the terms. But the biggest thing that I had trouble wrapping my head around was the spirit box. I didn't get that. Like, I never understood how a spirit box works. I'm like, it's just blurting out, like, random stuff. And you hear words, but of course you're going to hear words because there's words being blurted out. But it kind of all clicked. And we even touched on this when we coined the term paranormal lube. Here at Kill Pop Culture, we did coin that term. You're free to use it. Just, you know, give us some credit.
25 cents each time.
Give us our nickel. Shave a little copper off that penny. Send it to us. But seriously, it's like, I feel like if there is a paranormal and they're trying to get through, it's not easy for them to get through. If it was easy, there'd be ghosts everywhere.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, everywhere you look, there'd be just ghosts hanging out everywhere. So they need a
form of energy.
Yeah, they need something they can manipulate. For example, they put it best on this podcast that I listen to called Astonishing Legends. They said that when it comes to spirit boxes and the analog stuff and the white noise, you're kind of giving them putty or clay to work with.
Right.
You're giving them something to manipulate.
That's a perfect terminology for it.
Yeah, and once they said that, it just kind of clicked with me. Like, I get the spirit box thing now. I don't know why I didn't get it
before.
Because
this time last year, you really didn't. You were still asking me a lot of questions.
Yeah, I didn't mean to be overly skeptical rudely skeptical. I was like, I hear a word. I mean, well, of course you heard a word. This thing's saying words.
Right.
But if sounds and syllables are being spit out and noises being made, if there's something paranormal there, that's something that they can work with and manipulate to where they can communicate with you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like with the K2 meters and the EMF meters and stuff like that, we went in and we would go around all the power outlets and stuff like that, anywhere there was electrical wiring, and run it along the wiring, which all of the power was cut off to the building. There was zero power in that building whatsoever.
Right.
And we would go and get like a base reading kind of thing to make sure that it wasn't nothing there tripping the meters off. You know, making, giving, because, I mean, if you go up and you take the meter and you stick it to the back of this computer monitor right here, it's going to peg it out.
Oh, like you, and your cell phone.
Right.
You know, you'll hear me on here, you'll hear my meter go off and you'll be like, oh, that was my cell phone.
Right.
Because, like, you told me a long time ago that if something happens and it's not paranormal, call it right then so that later when we go back and listen to it, it's not confusing.
And you said a while ago that, you know, you're still kind of a baby at this, but I've got to applaud you.
I actually used the word infant.
Well, infant, baby, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, but one of them sounds a little more...
Okay, you are an infant at this.
I'm a man-child. Wait, that doesn't sound good either.
You're a man-child. Okay, point being is...
I'm a delightful adolescent with a full-grown beard.
You have a great beard.
Thank you. I thought so. I'm glad someone else finally noticed.
But the point that I'm getting at is you made that comment a while ago about that. But the way that you handled yourself in this investigation, I got to applaud you, man. You did a good job. I mean, you asked questions. If you made a noise, that was me. You know, you acknowledged the fact that it was you. And that makes a good investigator right there to me.
Hey, I'm learning.
From the best.
From the best around.
I lie. I digress.
Yeah, we had one of the reasons I really wanted to bring up spirit boxes is because it's really relevant to what you're about to hear. We had some interesting responses, and they coordinated with the readings from what it's called again?
The EVP recorder?
Why am I wanting to say PKE? What is that?
PKE is that thing that Egon holds.
I thought that was a...
That's the thing with the little things that go up and down that Egon holds in Ghostbusters.
Are you sure? I think we're going to get fact-checked on that.
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
Okay. I got too many acronyms running around in my head. But anyway, and I don't want to spoiler alert it because you're about to hear it, but for example... We were standing next to a fireplace, and he had the meter up on top of the mantle. And I made a comment about the fireplace, and then on the spirit box, you heard the word match.
Because we were talking about it being...
Yeah, about the draft. Because
it
was kind of cold, and I was like, well, is this thing closed off? Is it got a draft coming through it? And then all of a sudden, the spirit box said match. I'm like, that's pretty...
That's one of the ones that I wrote down on there. And you know, the thing about it is, too, that it's, I heard it on the EVP recorder, which is, I mean, it's in the part that you're going to be posting, too, where we were like 3 feet away from these meters and stuff. There was nothing whatsoever causing these meters to go off on our part.
Yeah, like you said, there's no power in the building.
Right.
And these things go off of power, so you can get a... It's easy to get false readings off of those meters when you're in a room that has electricity. I know from last year when we walked under power lines, they would go crazy.
Well, it wasn't just last year when we did the Natchez Trace and all that. When we first started out on that long expedition we took, we walked under some power lines and my meter started going off like crazy then too.
Right.
So anytime, I mean, you can take one of these meters and go stand right under a power line at the end of your driveway and you're going to have, you know, some interference from it.
Yeah, and like
so
I said,
they're that sensitive.
I was trying to record the podcast on my phone and hold this meter in my other hand, so you'll hear me, unless I edit it out, a couple of times where I'll swap hands or something, and then it'll go crazy for a second, and like Kelly and Jerm will look at me. I'll be like, no, that was my phone, sorry. Of course, there were some times that it did it, and it wasn't my phone, like in that doorway. There's something about that doorway.
Isn't that fun when you're holding one of these in your hand and there's no logical reason for this thing to be going off, but it's going off and you're just sitting there going,
It's trippy, man. We didn't get a lot of good pictures, and there's some of that during the session here or whatever you call it that you'll hear, because I kind of got the feeling that whatever may be there for some reason didn't really like us taking pictures.
Right.
Because we were getting a lot of good responses on those little meters, and then when me and Kelly started taking pictures, it quit. And then you asked, like, hey, do you want us to quit taking pictures? And then the little thing went off again.
We know,
like,
and yeah, that, we bringing like that. Up Mr. Tubb a while ago, the thing about it is with him is the paranormal team that he went out there with that he was telling us about had several things happen that night too. But going back to the article that our friend Sheena had written, is one of those guys from the Historical Society said that the place wasn't haunted, that there were no spirits in there. I'm not going to say I disagree with that, but there's a lot more reason not to agree with that now.
Yeah, and you know this better than anybody. Going ghost hunting is like going fishing.
Yeah.
You can go to a pond and fish all day long and not catch a thing. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean there's no fish in that pond. You're just
fishing on a bad day.
Fishing on a bad day or whatever. Because somebody else might go out there the next day with the same bait you were using and catch a truckload of fish.
Yep. You know, you kind of remind me of my little speech from when Deep South Paranormal did the museum thing last year. That was the only thing that I said about the ghost hunting thing, was that it was like fishing. I mean, that's the best way to look at it.
Maybe I subconsciously picked that up from there.
You might have, but I mean, honestly, that's the
really
best
is,
way to
it
look
really
at
is
it.
It really is like that. I mean, just from my what little observation I've had over the past couple of years is, like, when we went to the museum, that particular night, there wasn't just a bunch of crazy stuff going on.
No.
But I've heard the stories, and I know your team in particular has, in years previous, had major things happen there.
Yeah.
So you just never know. Maybe you don't have enough paranormal lube sometimes.
Sometimes.
But we, again, we didn't get a lot of responses, or we didn't get a lot of good video or pictures like we did, you know, at the ordnance plant.
But there was reasoning for behind that.
Yeah. And, but we did get some good,
audio.
Yeah, you got some EVP responses, and you've even wrote stuff down on here.
Yeah, I've wrote stuff down on a sheet of paper. I've been going through, listening to it a couple of times through, and marking timestamps and everything on it, trying to figure out what's going on, getting it on the computer, trying to boost audios in certain points if I have to, and there's only a couple of them in there that I actually think I'm going to have to boost the audio. Everything else is pretty much self-explanatory.
Awesome. Well, let's just go ahead and jump into it. We've been talking about it a lot, but I thought that was necessary to kind of somewhat narrate it, because as a listener, you know, you're just hearing the audio and you can't see what we're doing, so it's kind of confusing at times because we're doing different stuff and we're not really... We're kind of caught up in the moment,
right,
going through, and we're not adequately narrating what we're doing, so to speak. We're not like, hey, I'm in this room now, or
right.
I think we did say when we were upstairs or whatever.
Yeah, and you did bring back up the point, even in the talking about the fireplace a while ago. You did bring that up and kind of reiterate as play-by-play where we were, what we were doing right then. I mean, you kind of got to do it that way, unless you're there physically with us to know what's going on. But there's enough good stuff here, I think, if you close your eyes and you just listen, you get the gist.
What I recommend you do, personally, and maybe I'm biased, but I think you should listen to this podcast several times in case you miss something. Because you may hear an EVP on this show that we didn't hear.
Yeah, and if you do, email us.
KillPopCulture69@gmail.com.
Any raccoons in here?
Not a deer.
That was my phone.
I think mine wasn't.
Don't know.
No, I don't know.
No, it ain't mine. It was here last time. But you know what's funny? The last time we came in here, it was sitting right there.
You know what's so weird?
Hey, see if those lights will come on.
Man, I had that meter turned on outside.
They didn't pay their power bill. Well,
the lamp used to be on.
See what the date is of the last guest. 10/20/16. So nobody's been in here since we were here last, I don't think.
That was there.
Where's that flashlight at? In his backpack.
We need it.
Well, I'm using my phone to record a podcast right now. Now I gotta tell to say that again. Right. Hey, you remember?
Did it stop?
You remember on a previous podcast when we did the walkthrough and I talked about the access hole?
Yeah.
In the attic, there it is. Oh, we need to take some pictures too.
Hey, shut up. You gonna try to climb up there?
Let's see if I can.
Well, it's you.
Yeah, but I got my phone.
That's a soft pedal.
Get deep because I got my phone next to it. Yeah, don't get your.
Don't rip the wall.
Get yourself killed.
If somebody could pick me up, I could reach up in there. Look. I ain't even scared.
So they said the jail cells were up here.
Yeah. And they had shackles. That's so weird. I was walking up this way. You know, my eyes are adjusting to the darkness. Yeah, I swear, look, there's a fucking table sitting right here. And I was like reaching out for it. There's nothing there. It's a lot of dust in here.
Yeah, we'll bring some orbs from the dust.
Yeah.
Whoa, did you see that? When it flashed, it went phew.
Right, I'm going back down. Take some pictures down there.
Are you doing EVP stuff?
Look, this is the old original railing. How short that shit is.
Uh-huh. I'm going to take a picture of that. Yeah, here. I don't want to keep it because I lose shit. Oh. That was your phone. Oh.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't my phone.
He said right across the... Right across from the front door is this old hanging chair, right?
Yeah, I want to go over there in a minute.
Dude, I just had something major go off right here by the door. Now Mark's going off. Like, something literally walked up the stairs when me and Kel had a while ago.
Yeah. I hope you recorded it. Yeah, you had my phone.
I was recording. This was going off. He had his EVP recorder. And my little meter, it was lighting up both of them, right in between us. I was like 2 or 3 steps ahead of Kelly, and I was like down in between us. Hey, did y'all even try to turn the power on?
No.
Here's the maybe lights, or the, you ain't got to, y'all.
I ain't going to, I don't know how faulty these wires are, some of this part.
Well, they had all the old wire pulled out, stuck in the corner up there. It looked like.
It's so crazy. We were getting so much stuff, and then I started stacking pictures, and it's just dead.
Right? Yeah, and it stopped.
Which, that's happened to me before we got pictures, too. Sometimes just don't want you taking their pictures.
All right, well, I'm stopping taking pictures.
Sorry.
I'm just going to have my flashlight on.
Can you give me another sign of your presence, please? We won't take the photo anymore.
it's just a strict guess, because I've never seen that in architecture, is heat vents going upstairs.
Hatch places on the floor, too.
If it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with the...
Hey, I really like y'all leaving me in a room by myself in a haunted house. That's really cool.
Yeah, this place is settling so bad.
Yeah, the walls are cracked.
The wall, but the floor.
Yeah, I'm gonna stand back here and get a picture. Oh, I said I wasn't gonna take more pictures. Sorry, I forgot.
He's gonna take one more.
Two, actually.
Two more.
Hey, Jerm.
What?
Oh, it's all right, never mind. Holy shit.
Baby snake.
Yeah,
probably a rat snake.
Rattle-headed copper moccasin.
No, when you look at the belly, it's a solid belly. I think if the scales are solid on the belly, they're not poisonous. Something like that.
Damn finger was in the way.
Mark, you're going to make them angry. Keep lying to them.
Sorry. I'm an amateur.
What's the big flashlight?
Right there on my desk.
See if you still peg out right here like you were.
I remember. Yeah, I'm not getting anything out of here. She go all the way up to the flute.
So for everybody listening, just to clarify, Jerm was getting pegged out right here in this spot on his meter. And then we started taking pictures. Oh yeah, you're going again.
Yeah, but look at it. Look how it's doing it.
Whoa. What about that thing in your hand? Is that not something at all?
It has nothing to do with it.
But it looks like it's trying to talk to you.
Yeah. Hold on. Is that how it is?
Started scanning.
Oh. That's scary, man. You gotta tell somebody we're gonna do that.
Yeah. This is a different kind.
Ready.
Man, that thing needs to be censored. They're cussing us. Just to bring everybody up to date, I know you can't see what's going on, obviously, but Jerm's doing a spirit box thing, and
he's got his meter.
When it starts talking, yeah, he's not close enough to the meter to. He's probably, I'd say, a good 3 feet from it, and when it starts talking, this meter just goes crazy. And we're standing by. We were talking about the fireplace to see if there was a draft, and it said the word match.
Yeah. That was crazy. I'm going to ask your permission this time, but would it be okay if I let Mark take your picture? If so, can you make this stop lighting up?
did for a second, but...
No, it would stop.
You know what's funny? Normally we have a problem with not getting enough signal. Now we can't even get it to, like, quit going crazy.
Yeah.
Started scanning.
Were you locked up in this jail here because you did something with a gun?
Dude, you see when he hung that chick, the gun fell out of
her pocket, her bustle, or whatever.
Screaming, please.
Screaming, please.
You say did not believe?
Did not believe? Were you innocent?
Charlotte.
We got a name.
No one? Do you know what year it is? If you do, write this up. Did you die in the 1800s?
That's something important.
I've heard the word rest about 3 times.
Tim, is there anything we can do to help you? Move on so you can rest.
Thirty.
1830s or 1930s?
Important again.
That's like the third time I said important.
You have something important that you need to tell us? If you do, light this up and speak into this.
Focus.
Focus?
Before it gets too dark, I'm going to take some pictures of where the hanging tree was out front. The sun's almost gone down.
Scanning stop.
What's your stuff right here?
Are we coming back in or?
Just go ahead and leave it propped up. We might do one last walk through, especially upstairs or whatever.
Yeah.
Whoa, shit. I just told you to watch your step and almost fell.
Yeah.
So across the road over here, he said.
Yeah. He said
straight across from the
Everybody
front door.
I've talked to said straight out in front of the front door is where the hanging tree was. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a tree here now, but that's not it. They said the hanging tree's long since been cut down or fell down or it's gone. So we're standing right here.
Hey, I was getting a signal out here.
We're standing where the hanging tree probably would have.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to know exactly where it was. But
is there an old hanging tree out here?
Hey, you hearing this?
Yeah.
It's like it's going from each of them.
Yeah. Mark ain't got his meter on.
Yeah, I do.
Underline. I wonder if they mean under the power line.
Well, that wouldn't make sense to the...
In fact.
I mean, technically...
Fact.
What's that?
Where it is. Where it should have been.
Are you out here with us right now? I see you lighting my meter up again.
Mark, shine your light right in.
You bet.
I'm thinking it was right here.
Why?
Oh, because of the meter?
Well, no, the old pump.
Straight from the door.
I don't know how far. I mean, it could have been right in there or something.
Well, you've got natural burns here. These burns are indicative of old trees, and they just buried the stump. Especially if it was a big tree.
Well, it had been big enough to hold somebody's body weight.
Yeah, so you're talking about a huge oak.
Older. Older?
Old.
Was this where the old tree was?
You mean stand?
Is this where people were home?
Maybe it's saying this is where you sat to watch them.
Finally, like you finally got it right. You finally got what they were trying to say.
It was a big ordeal.
Yeah. So where was the tree? Were they scared before they were home? Making sense over here, Mark.
I've got one hell of an orb in that picture, but there are some bugs that are flying around.
More.
You got more to film?
Under.
Say something about the name Charlotte.
Hey, can you tell me anything about Charlotte?
Veronica.
Veronica's a new name.
Yeah.
That's the last 50 years.
My brother is kind of an old English man.
Did you ever go inside? Yeah, it's probably better if he did it by himself because it'd be a lot quieter.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want to go up here by myself.
Of course, he's a ghost hunter, so.
And I never go anywhere alone.
Well, Dr. Brown brought up a good point in the last podcast. You don't need to ghost hunt alone because you don't have people you can collaborate with and verify. Because anybody can say, oh, I went ghost hunting and I saw a bunch of ghosts. Hey, leave those on for a second. Let me take a couple pictures. Damn it, my finger keeps getting in the way.
I didn't realize my headlights were that dark.
It was dark as hell out here. Have you taken a lot of pictures?
No, I'm going to say a lot. I've taken a good bit of pictures.
See, if I was an ass, I would throw something up against the side of the building while he's up there.
I'm getting that TV out here in the gym.
you come around the corner, that thing started going off.
Watch the sequence. All right, I took that picture upstairs in the room. And I just took, you know, random snap. You see how it looks lighter down through there, though?
Yeah.
All right, that one I just kind of misfocused on, I think. But the very next one, I took it in the same direction as I did that one, except on the opposite corner.
Mm-hmm. Damn, it's like bright as hell. It looks like a negative almost.
Yeah.
I wonder what made it do that.
I don't know, because I didn't have it on photo negative. It does.
That's pretty cool.
Can you see that from here?
What the hell is that?
Just a shot like that.
No, that's something standing in front of it.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's almost a blur effect, but that's something standing in front of it intensifying. Almost like when you take a picture through smoke.
Yeah.
Fuck,
I don't know.
Are we done, or?
Yeah,
just close the door if you don't mind.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out.
Imagine.
That was Sanctuary by Caedicus. You need to go online and check them out right now. They're going to be with us at Club Safari in Corinth, Mississippi this Saturday.
Man, that was an awesome episode.
It was. It was a really good episode. Really long episode.
A good way to send off. And I don't mean to sound like this is the end or anything, but if we're going to take a little break, go out with a bang. Go out with a pow.
I think this was a good one to go out with.
Yeah. But you know us. We'll be back.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
One thing we're good at is being back, because we like saying, and we're back.
Exactly.
I want to sincerely thank everyone who has listened to this podcast for the last 58 episodes and put up with our randomness and our craziness. Thanks for all the likes, all the 4-5-star reviews and everything you could give us on iTunes. That always helps us out.
That means a lot. It really does.
And hey, during this little break we're going to take, why don't you send us some music? We need more local bands played on this station, played on the show.
Bands you want to hear, or even just to say hello.
And send us emails. Yeah. You remember when you used to send us emails? And not just when you wanted a book? Yeah, keep that going. And tell us what you want us to do for Halloween. Nobody sent us a ghost story. I mean, come on, guys, gals.
Everybody's got something going on out there. Come on now.
Mona. Oh, and don't you worry. We have not forgot, and we are not going to give up on finding that cemetery.
Oh, it's going to happen.
It is going to happen. And I will, maybe not publicly, but I will
personally
get the coordinates of that cemetery, take pictures of that cemetery, and
try not to be a deer and get shot.
You know, that's the thing. There's a lot of deer hunters around there.
Yeah.
We gotta time everything just right so we don't get shot.
Yeah, I don't feel like getting shot.
I'm allergic to lead. It fills me full of dread. Thanks to Dr. Alan Brown.
Shannon Byers.
Thank you. I was just about to say Shannon Byers. Who else have we had on?
We had Schman and Schmeyers too last week.
Well, nobody heard that episode because Podomatic sucks.
We're going to have to re-share that, I guess.
Well, hopefully they'll have it fixed soon. That's another thing. See, you're kind of getting two episodes because one of them didn't really upload right. Hopefully this one will.
If you have a problem, contact Podomatic. Give them hell.
Yeah, tell for them, real. I don't mind calling people out. I still say AT&T sucks one.
Yeah,
but hell, they suck too. I don't have any more notes.
We did not.
Oh, I saw a note I forgot to say.
I know one thing we did not talk about too after we finished this.
Oh, the EVPs?
No, well, not. Well, okay, two notes now.
Okay, well, go ahead.
What did we do last weekend?
That's So Sick Fest.
Yes, we did. We haven't talked about that and how that went and everything.
You know what else we haven't talked about?
Ooh, you're finna tell me.
Our upcoming show.
Yes.
We got a show, probably, I can't guarantee this, but it's a pretty safe assumption this will be the last. I cannot reach the bell. I've rang it enough times tonight. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Do it.
I'll do it gently. This could very well be the last Kill J show of 2016. And some of you went, oh, thank God. I'm so sick of them talking about that band.
Oh, my God.
Ain't nobody going to give y'all money.
We don't need your stinking money. Well, we'd like to have it.
For real, though, I'm looking forward to working on this album. It's going to be really cool. This will be time for me to flex my shameless promotion muscle, because a lot of the stuff that you will hear on the podcast. It's probably going to be about us being in the studio, because that's where we're going to be and what we're going to be working on.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to that. That's So Sick Fest this last weekend.
Thank you to everyone that came out to That So Sick Fest. We had a really, really good time. It was a blast.
I had fun.
Yeah, we played on the outside stage. We had a good crowd. It was a big, booming, awesome sound system. Had some cool costumes. I didn't wear one. I'm too fat for my Thor outfit now.
Evil Twins were on the stage together, so...
Yep, Sean Cancer Slayer Frank was on the stage with us.
That was a really good show. I mean, that made the night right there for us, I think.
It was awesome. And hopefully this show in Corinth will be awesome. I know it will.
Oh, yeah.
It's us, Shutdown Tactic, and Caticus. You've heard Shutdown Tactic on the show before. Man, it's always hard to say goodbye and to let go, but it's really hard when, you know, we're kind of going out of town from each other.
Yeah, we're not going to be here.
This is going to be a long-distance relationship between us and our listeners for a few weeks.
Yeah.
All right, people.
Allons-y.
We're going to ride off into the moonlight. This is our last broadcast from high atop the second floor of Kill J headquarters. Last one for a little while anyway. You guys don't forget about us. We won't forget about you. We're going to write you some good music to shamelessly promote all over this damn show when we come back. That's what it is. We just figured it out. We're not saying goodbye. We're not leaving. This is just our season finale. This is the season finale of season one of Kill Pop Culture.
We literally sat here in silence for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, for y'all that was like, you know, a few seconds. For us it was like a few more seconds.
Yeah, Mark was just like, what did that feel like? That was our season finale. I was like, because it kind of was, I think. And then it's like an epiphany hit him. Bam.
I'm hitting record again. That's what I said.
Yep. And that's what it is. This is the season one finale.
So how do we do this when we come back? Do we go...
Oh, I know how we're going to start it off. I already have a brain fart.
A brain fart means you forgot something. I've already got a good idea. I forgot.
Okay, maybe I just farted and then it went to my brain. It's the same thing, ain't it? Anyway, I got an idea.
What's your idea?
I'm not telling. They'll have to stay tuned for season two.
Are you saving that for the season premiere of season two?
Yes, I am. Whatever we're called by then. Hello. Christopher Eccleston and David.
Let's start season two right now. Like at the end of season one. Let's leave him with a cliff.